around the world, the planet is once again listening to the technology show for Generation E. McWilliam Cyberline coming at you around the world via the internet and coast to coast via satellite. USA Radio Network. Okay. A slight minor technical adjustment. Anyway, that sound like, did this sound different to you? We were coming out with the music sounded kind of
a little bit.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know if it was me or whatever. We can fix that. That'll be the second small technical adjustment.
Sounds good.
Anyway, greetings, netizens. We are here once again, Video Bob and I, another Saturday night, and talking tech. And we got a whole bunch of things on the plate. And I've got a couple of things to talk about. Dunkin' Donuts has a B&B, and I think it's New York. And you can rent it for $10 a night. And it's powered.
A B&B.
Yeah.
A bed and breakfast.
Like Airbnb?
Sign me up. How do I get over there to that? That sounds awesome.
Yeah. Well, you know the little tiny homes they have?
Oh, boy.
About that size. But the cool thing about it is, we're going to talk about tonight, is it's powered by coffee grounds.
Powered by coffee grounds. Well, that's technology for you. Okay, how are they powering it by coffee grounds?
Well, you got to listen later to find out.
Okay.
And we got some news on the dot front of some new shows and things and blocks that are coming up. And we're going to talk about Facebook, and we're going to talk about some things going on there. And a little observation in technology I saw during the O'Rourke / Cruz debate in San Antonio this week. And it was quite fascinating. It was a little thing there toward the end we'll talk about. And what do you got on the queue there, Bob?
Oh, I want to tell everybody about a new video game company that's out there.
Yeah.
And very exciting. You know, has a couple products coming out for Christmas.
Ah.
And I thought it would be good to share.
Yes, that sounds very good. And we have a whole bunch of other things we'll go through the night and also take your calls. And you can get in at 844-RADIO-US. For those of you that aren't too alpha, it's 844-723-4687, 844-723-4687. And we are definitely on live tonight unless we are on taped. So as I realized last week, I said, hey, we're on live. But then that could be a repeat, and then maybe you'll get it wrong. Who knows? But anyway, trying to think of all the different things that have happened this week. We talked about the censoring last week, did we not?
Yep, I think we did.
So we got that story out of the way.
Here, I want to go. I'm gonna tell my story. I want to go. But brand new company that's out there. The company's name is Atari.
Wait a minute. A brand new company called Atari.
Atari. It's out there, and they're putting out a new product for Christmas called the Atari 2600.
Funny, it looks just like the logo of an old company I remember.
You caught me. But I'll tell you what, they are putting out.
Number?
They are coming out, and they're putting out a new video game, a couple new video games for Christmas. They are video game products, I guess you'd have to call them,
okay,
because they're two handheld devices. One of them is just like the old Atari joystick, and it's got games built into it. And then they've got another handheld device that is looks more like the newer joysticks that you have today.
Yeah.
But both of them hook up to the TV, just nice little units available for Christmas, and it's going to be fun to play those. So I'm looking forward to getting one of those myself.
They hook up the old way where you have to put it through an antenna, like through the coax port, or I warned you about that. It didn't break.
Yay!
I warned you about that. No, seriously, is it like the old school where you have to put it through the coax in the back for the antenna?
No, they got better stuff out there than that. So, I mean, is there even any more coax out there and available? It's almost non-existent. And if you do have it, it's more digital.
Well, it's there. It's just a matter of most of that stuff was an analog signal on an analog tuner. So a lot of the tuners now that were analog are being taken out for space and going just straight digital.
But they do have this Atari 2600. It's got a little 2.4-inch color screen that's built into it. So you get to play it just on the merits of the device itself.
Ah.
So little bitty tiny screen, but enough that you can play a lot of these old games. So a lot of fun there. And then, like I said, they've got the other joystick that is able to play. You can play it at home and have a lot of fun. I think they've got, let's see, they've got 50 classic titles and packs that are built into the portable version.
Yeah.
So lots of cool stuff in there. And you remember, they had a lot of good stuff there that you could play, that Asteroids,
yeah,
Pong.
All the stuff we grew up on.
Sure, they built all those games into it. Now, they weren't necessarily, all the games weren't necessarily created by Atari, but they took all these games and made home versions of them. Lots of fun. They had, what did they have? They had, you could play Breakout. That was one of the...
Yeah, that was a very popular one.
Mm-hmm, that was one of them that they had out there. And then Pong, of course, was
right,
probably
first.
One of the most popular games out there. And really is what got Atari on the market in the first
Pong,
place.
Pong was practically copied by everyone. And then the funny thing was, I can remember, you know, growing up, all the cool kids had the Atari with Pong.
Sure.
But if you're not so cool and your parents aren't cool and you might be maybe a little less affluent than the cool kids,
mm-hmm,
you got the generic Pong. So that's when you ran down to Radio Shack and got the Pong that had the Radio Shack logo on it and these funky looking paddles, and you would play Pong, and that's all you played was Pong.
Do you remember when Pong came out? What year was it?
Oh, gosh.
And I'm talking about at least the one on Atari.
I'm saying probably, because I remember when we got that Pong from Radio Shack, it was probably about 77 or 78.
Actually, you'd be off by, you'd be a little late by about 5 years.
Really?
Yeah, 72.
Came out in 72.
It came out in 72, and it was an amazing game back
now,
then.
Now, when did it hit the consumer market? Did it hit in 72?
No, it hit the consumer market on Atari in 1972.
Okay.
So
I think it was that far back.
Yeah, it is surprising. Time flies, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So let's see. Yeah, you know what? It really is surprising that it was that long ago. You know, I've told this story before, but I just remember the whole advent of the computer thing in the first place. What really threw me, just blew me away, was when I got out there and I was in seventh grade, and this was a long, long, long time ago.
Yes,
I was in
for
seventh
both of
grade.
Us, unfortunately.
But I'm sitting there, they've got a box out there, and it's got a game on there. They called it Star Trek. And
yeah,
you ran the Enterprise. Now, in those days, it was all ASCII characters, and
yep,
it was just a grid. It wasn't anything fancy like we've got today. There was no graphics associated with it.
And the little dashes that come out from the dollar sign.
If you got lucky that it would have an animation like that.
Yeah.
But typically,
the
you just had
to... The
one
on the Trash 80 had it because we used to play it.
Uh-huh. But I was playing this game, and, you know, a box was beating me. It actually was smarter than I was. At least that's the way I saw it at that time. I'm like, going, what is going on here? And that set me down the whole road of computers in the first place. So a lot of fun, neat, different environment way back there. When they had, you know, computers were kind of a novelty. I mean, they really were. And to have them out there and to be able to have access to them at such an early age, it was phenomenal to me. And I had a lot of fun with them.
My first recollection of it was my first computer, which was a TI-99-4A, which I still have in the garage stash somewhere.
Oh, those were neat. Hook them up to your TV?
Yeah, and it had the little cartridges, and Bill Cosby at that time was plugging them too. And you could do BASIC. You could actually write programs in BASIC and everything. And I think it also had, at the beginning, it had a cassette deck like all of them did, where you put a cassette in and record your programs. And then they had this, it was like an interface box where you had different cartridges to plug in. You could have a floppy disk and everything that's expanded. But the one thing I don't miss was walking into stores and there was like five different types of computers, all with their own operating system.
Mm, right,
and if
you're right.
If there was a game you liked, it's like, oh, well, that's great if you have an IBM computer. They ain't going, we're going to TI-99. For,
mm-hmm.
Or maybe the other one was, oh, that's great if you have a Cocoa computer or a Model 4 Trash 80, but it ain't going to work on that TI-99-4.
Right. Now, they had CPM was one of the operating systems
right
back then. They had DOS.
Right, DOS finally came out, and everybody's kind of started gravitating.
And then they had DR-DOS. And you know what the big draw on MS-DOS versus CPM was at the time? Mm. Is the subdirectory system.
Right.
That was what the problem was with CPM, was at the time it came out, it only had a, you know, a top level, and you could put files in that, but the having subdirectories, that is what really, I would just say, separated the two. It may have been a little thing, but it really made people gravitate in that direction.
When I was selling computers, first time I started selling them for, I guess it was Radio Shack, but that was even before DOS kind of became a standard. When I really started selling them in the DOS base was when I was at Highland, and people would ask about directories and subdirectories, and it was so funny, they knew nothing about them. And I'd say, well, it's simple, it's a filing cabinet. Mm-hmm. And they'd look at me funny and say, well, here's your filing cabinet, this is your drive, and this is your directory, and here's your little subdirectories, little files, and oh, and a light will go off. Uh-huh. I'll take two, hey, you know. And it was easy to explain it to them that way.
Now, here's another thing. You were bringing up the TI-94?
Yeah,
994. Yeah. 994. And it was one of the things that people don't get, at least that didn't experience that at the time, was the terrible resolution that you had on television sets at that time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you really could get solid, you could get 23 characters on the TV screen that were crisp.
Right.
But when you were also able to generate a bit, you could generate up to like 40 characters across the screen. And that was it, because the resolution would get so poor after that you just couldn't see anything on TV. It just really got crummy. So you had to go over and actually get monitors at that time. And the monitors back then, you know, they were very, very pricey.
And they were just a step up from the television.
And originally, they were black and white or green and white.
Yeah.
So the original monitors, people don't realize back then, we didn't have color.
And then the cool thing was they had the same screens, and somebody had an idea and said, hey, instead of making a screen with green characters, which is kind of harsh on the eyes, let's make it better and go orange.
Yeah.
And so then the big thing was, hey, man, I got an orange screen. You suck. You've got a green screen.
Yeah, they were talking about it. I remember that.
I thought I was styling with a Hyundai, it wasn't 640 by 480. It was like below that, but it was all orange. It was nice working mm-hmm. with, but beyond that.
And all these things, you're right, I'd forgotten about the orange screens.
Yeah.
But I think really the ones that won out the most were the green.
Yeah.
Overall.
Well, green was everywhere.
Yeah.
All right, we'll come back and talk a little bit more about this and some other things as well. And what would you say if I told you that Palm's making a comeback? No, I haven't been smoking any marijuana, but we'll find out when we get back. You're listening to McWilliams Cyberline. McWilliams Cyberline with you, 844-RADIO-US, or 844-723-4687. Sorry, man, I was jamming to the S3.
Okay, give us a call Saturday night. It's cool.
And until Chris had to kind of poke me in the head and go, hey, you're on. Oh, yeah. That's right, man. It's a rejoiner. That's not the top of the hour.
You know, I was going back to look at some of the video games that they had back then, but just to set the Wayback Machine, you remember Dig Dug?
Oh, God, yes.
You know, that was a lot of fun. Qbert. Qbert came out in 1982.
I remember Qbert. And it always sounded like he was cussing, and they were, like, trying to censor it. You know, and it'd have, like, something pop up on the screen as he's jumping around.
It was pretty fun. They had Joust back then, too, so that was 1982. All these games. It's funny. They did come out relatively about the same time. Obviously, they had the games out at at all the arcades. And, you know, I bet you even kids nowadays don't even remember that. There were video arcades everywhere. You didn't have all these games at home. You didn't play in your house.
We need to open some channels up the road here in Plano. Because you know they have the video, is it the Video Game Museum? Where they have all of the games.
Where?
I have to go back and look at it, but they've actually been collecting the old school video games, and you can go in and play them.
Oh.
I've heard them interview, I think when they were building the museum, and they opened it about a year or two ago. So we need to open channels with them.
Yeah, I'd love to go back and play a couple of those games. You know, especially, you know, the ones I want, and I want to get one of these sometime. I don't know when, because it's very difficult. You got to have a game room and all that stuff. Don't have a game room in our house. But there's, I'd love to get one of those cocktail machines.
The ones you could sit in front of?
Yeah, you sit down and just play head-to-head against another person. A lot of fun on those. And, by the way, Chris looks like he's a Missile Command fan.
Missile Command, that was a big one, with the big trackball, before trackballs were cool.
Yeah, Missile Command was awesome. I remember playing that. You know, you'd do the spread of missiles.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun to get those all across and destroy everything before it hit the ground. A lot of fun there.
I enjoyed Asteroids, and a buddy of mine, he was back in our quote-unquote college years. I don't know how he did it, but he used to live out in Arlington in this place called Jackson Square, which is apartment complexes that went for like blocks upon blocks. And he had this small kitchen, and I can't remember if he had an efficiency or a one-bedroom, but there was just enough space between the entrance into the kitchen and the dining room, and he had a dining room table there, and smack dab in that entrance space against the wall was an Asteroids machine. I don't know how he got it, because back then he was working for some company doing PA systems for drive-thrus at restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere along the way, I guess this thing was in a restaurant, and it was functional, and so he had a bar stool in front of it. Man, he'd go to town on that thing.
Uh-huh.
And I was amazed, like, you know, these things cost like thousands of dollars back in that day. These things weren't cheap.
Right.
And somebody generally owned them, because when they weren't doing their job or they weren't making money, they'd pluck them out, a new game would come in, and then they put a new game in, and they go send that game off, you know, to some other place and make money.
We did have a Battlezone game at our house. Thanks, Mom and Dad. It was awesome. Played that forever, and we'd, you know, get on there, and it was really such a good vector graphics game. I don't know if did you play that one much?
Played it a long time ago. I remember it. Probably not as much as some of the other games I played.
But it was a lot of fun because it was really a good tank game. You know, you had two joysticks, and, you know, just like a normal tank, if you pushed both forward, it went forward. Yeah. If you pushed forward and went one, you know, pulled one back, it would turn.
Yeah,
you know,
and
one
you really
way,
had to get
and then
used to that thing.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't
bad. If you weren't good at it, then all of a sudden you get lobbed by something to get hit.
And they had that. You'd cruise around. It would. You're playing a good game of with tanks, and then all of a sudden a UFO would come in. It was a lot of fun.
That one too. All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Listen to the William Cyberline.